Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Happy New Year's to all in Kristabdo. This is our still 521 years after Lord Chaitanya appeared. Today we've been celebrating Gita Jayanti. Sometime in December, January, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. It's like in the seventh chapter it mentions. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yadati siddhaye yathatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. There, Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are various grades of men. Out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. How many of you would like to know what is the self, what is the body, what's the absolute truth? That's pretty good. So you're already one out of thousands. Generally, mankind is engaged in the animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, defending, mating, and hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. Hardly some of the people from other countries came to Australia for economic development. But at the same time, you can be very fortunate if you get their spiritual realization. So, I'm also active in the Middle East, where there are a lot of expatriates from South Asia and Far East Asia. And they went there for some economic development, but then they find that there's a very good satsang program. Bhakti Viksha groups and Namhat groups and satsang groups and study classes. And there the life is a little not so fast. So they get a lot of opportunity to develop side by side with their economic development, their spiritual development. Recently, the head of one of the yatras there, one of the programs we're doing in the Middle East, just got promoted as a vice president of one of the major corporations there. So side by side, you do your spiritual life, and the Krishna also gives you material breaks on the other side. So he uses his position to be able to organize nice programs. They have indoor Rath Yatras. Here you can have outdoor Rath Yatra because Australia is a free place. But in the Middle East, some people might be offended if you have an outdoor Rath Yatra. So you do indoor Rath Yatra, not to offend anybody. It says here, this first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. So there's different types of yoga. The Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve the impersonal Brahman the spiritual light. For this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman means the impersonal effulgence, and Paramatma means the super soul. So the yogis and gyanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such, for it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though he has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. The primeval Lord Govinda, Iswaraha Paramaha Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govindam, Sarvakarana Karanam. You all know what that means? Iswara Paramakrishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satchidananda Vigraha, he has a form of eternal blissful knowledge. Anadir, he is without any origin. Adir, he is the origin himself. Govinda, his name is Govinda, pleases the senses, the cows and the lamb. Sarva Karana, he is the Karanam, cause of all the causes. So it's very difficult for the non-devotee to know him. Although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy, they cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? So actually the path of bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of bhakti practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti may be easy, but when it is practiced factually according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable transcendental qualities in Krishna, his being the cause of all causes, his omnipotence and opulence, his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently acclaimed to his devotees, so he's the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore it is said, it's another Sanskrit verse, please. If you don't know Sanskrit, give the translation after. Atasi Krishna Namadi Na bhavet grahyam indriyai sevan mukhe hi jivado svayameva suratyada. Translation: no one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. So because today is the Bhagavad Gita's birthday, let's give a birthday in the sense that it was spoken 5,000 some hundred years ago. We're celebrating the birthday today. Some people celebrate it on Vaikuntha Ekadasi. Today this temple celebrates it today. So this is our time when we are giving some remembrance to the Bhagavad Gita. How many of you read the Bhagavad Gita? How many read it cover to cover and finished it? Very good. So some of you haven't done it yet. We were discussing earlier the New Year's Day. People sometimes make their New Year's resolutions, what they want to do. So one good thing to do is read Bhagavad Gita. This is considered to be the cream of the Vedas. All the wisdom is condensed in this Bhagavad Gita. So, you can read Bhagavad Gita. I once went into Prabhupada's room, Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami. No picture here of him, but. And he's in the, his deity is seated in the Vyasasana in the temple room. And I found that he was reading Bhagavad Gita. So I thought Bhagavad Gita is a basic book we beginners read. So why is he reading? He said, no, when I read Bhagavad Gita, I get new information every time. And he's reading it dozens and dozens of times. And he still reads the Bhagavad Gita. So we shouldn't think that we grow out from Bhagavad Gita. It's our basic storehouse, treasure house of wisdom. Tells us about the soul, the material world, the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many important things. If we had to tell the Krishna consciousness or explain it to others, a good knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is very important. I met the one devotee, he knew the Bhagavad Gita by heart. I mean, he knew the whole Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit verses, by memory. It was quite good. Sometime I met many children who know whole chapters. And any kids here know the chapters? You know a chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Do you know a chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Sloka? Chapter? Which one? Which chapter you know? Knowledge of this absolute is the seventh. Someone had their hand up over here. You know the names of the chapters. Tissue. The young children have memories which are very, very powerful, and so it's a good time to memorize the verses. Then later you can learn what they mean. Any kid want to chant a chapter for us today? Gita Jayanti celebration. Okay, I won't put anybody on the spot. So just thought today is a good day to decide, read the Bhagavad Gita. Also today is a good day to fix how many rounds you're going to chant. It's good to fix a minimum. Of course, Prabhupada said that if someone chants 16 rounds, which is 10 million names of Krishna in a year, they chant 16 rounds a day, then he takes on to follow the principles. He'll take some responsibility to get them back to Krishna. But it's not possible for everybody to immediately chant 16 rounds. So, but something, he also said if you can't do 16, do some, fixed minimum number. Maybe 10 or 8 or 5 or 4, whatever. How many are doing 16 here? Very good. How many have a fixed minimum? Hiti, what's your fixed minimum? 4. So that's 2.5 million names of Krishna in a year. You're a multi-millionaire. So like that, if everybody chants some minimum, that'll build up in your spiritual strength. recurring deposit. And as you get a, hopefully, when you do more, actually get more of a taste. It's easy to get distracted, so many things to do in the modern world. Studies, work, diversions. But somehow if we can chant, that'll build up our spiritual strength so that eventually we can cash in on that. Remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement and we were told that every service we do for Krishna goes in Krishna's little bank account, the Krishna bank. If you have enough credit, then they'll take you back to Krishna, to back to Him. We don't know when that's going to happen. I came all fired up, spent 12 hours in Adelaide, come to Melbourne for the Boxing Day Festival, spend a few days here, then go to Brisbane, then go to Sydney, then today I was supposed to be in the New Govardhan. But when I arrived, I had a high fever over the flight. My leg was got swollen. I had a little nick in Malaysia, and then somehow it created an infection. So I went to see a doctor, Dr. Tony, and he said that he was serving in Vellore in South India for some years. So you know, I know a little bit about Indian culture. If you don't take care of your foot, this could mean reincarnation. That's a pretty heavy thing to say. So, I went into the hospital in Adelaide, and with Krishna's mercy, okay, the things got under control. I'm here, still not fully cured, but under control. So you never know what's going to happen when. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham, that every step is danger. So better to be prepared. It's like a spiritual insurance policy, keep chanting. And if you actually develop a taste, then you find it's a supreme happiness. Sunday I was, I gave a Sunday lecture for the first time after I've been in the hospital and everything. And it was so blissful. I feel so happy to talk about Krishna. It's very blissful to talk about Krishna. So if we can develop a taste for talking or hearing or chanting Krishna, then that's considered to be auspicious. I don't want to say that I have it yet fully, but that day I was feeling very happy after many days to talk about Krishna. I like to talk and hear about Krishna. So you can fix up some minimum, or if you're already doing 16, keep it up. Try to improve the quality. And if you're not doing 16, well, fix up something. If you're not chanting at all, at least you can even you can chant one round. That'll add up. There was a story about, in the Padma Purana I read, that Yamaraj, who is the judge for the sinful people in Yamaloka and the gateway to the hellish planets, he sent his messengers to get someone and bring him here. It's time for him to die and come there for judgment. And I said he was a Kshatriya, something Singh. But Yamadutas couldn't find him. Somehow they looked around, looked for his address, couldn't find him. But the next door neighbor had the same name. They thought maybe there was a little mix-up. So they took their next door neighbor, who was a Brahmana, a But somehow he also had the name Singh, maybe your forefather. I don't remember it's Singh or maybe some other name, but like that two names, Singh. They took him, and he was saying, why am I, he's being dragged by these messengers of death. His body's in a coma, and they took his subtle body to Yamaraj to see what's his next birth going to be. And then he said he was there looking, and he sees all these employees of the correctional system there for the universe. Some are half man, half animal, some are animals, but with intelligent looks, like they look at you, not like just an animal, but they look, they're fully intelligent, but with some with big muscular bodies and fangs. And he said, wow, this place is really heavy. I don't want to be here. And then he was dragged up on the docket, and Yamaraj looks away. He's the wrong guy. He was starting to feel a lot of relief. He's the wrong guy. Why'd you bring him? And then we went to the house, he said, but no, we couldn't find anybody. We didn't see anybody there. And he had the same name next door, so that maybe this one, address got mixed up. No, you see, you don't bring people to me who don't tell lies, who chant the name of God, who, he gave a whole Katrina, who are serving the Supreme Lord, and he's a good guy. He doesn't belong here, He said, I never want to come down here, I'm going to definitely follow all these guidelines, chant the holy name, serve the Lord, I'm not going to tell any more lies. Then the Yamaraj went into meditation. Oh, the problem is that this verse, I think it was in the glories of Dhatrifal, this Amalaki, that that's the first plant created by Brahma. So this other person had put that in his house, so he's not visible to subtle entities. Ghosts, Yamadutas, nobody can approach this plant. It's so effulgent that it blinds them. They don't see anything. It's another good thing to keep in your house. I don't know if it was allowed. We got to ask Andrew if he's here. If it was, is it allowed? Oh, he's not here now. Huh? Went back. He works for the quarantine service. He tell us if it's allowed here. Maybe in the botanical garden. So then, he was taken back to his house, and he decided, that's it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, there's some questions. Anyway, fix that number. Chant Hare Krishna has multiple benefits. Even if it seems mechanical in the beginning, when you do a few, it's more mechanical. When you develop a taste after time, it gets more nectarian. But better to do. It's a sacrifice. Yajnanam japa yajyosmi, the best of all sacrifices to the japa yajna, the sacrifice of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Okay, this is an anonymous question. The question is, okay, tricky question. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one who has been in the spiritual world never comes to the material world. It doesn't say that. So one who goes back to the spiritual world never comes down here again. Naptuvanti Mahatma. One who goes back doesn't come here again. So that the initial premise is how, where we were in the spiritual, what was our condition. He's asking, that we'll only find out when we get back. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, don't worry about where we came from. We came from the spiritual world, but don't worry how we got in here. Because once we get back, we'll remember everything. It's like somebody was on a big ship, they had recently the big Sydney Hobart race. Maybe the sail came and whack someone in the head, they fall off in the ocean, freezing cold water, sharks all around. Is he going to say, wait, I want an exact explanation, I want exact point by point, second by second explanation before I get out of this shark infested water? Is anybody going to say that? Get me out of here. Then later on I figure, yeah, they hear from their friends what happened, but boom, came around, hit you on the head. Oh, okay. So we don't have to worry how we got here, we've got to worry how to get out. That's the priority. That's saying that. Can one pay obeisances to the Lord after the altar doors are closed? No problem. But circumambulating is not recommended. But we don't have a circumambulation pad here anyway. What we call in India, parikrama pat. That's supposed to be where the doors open. But obeisances in the temple, you can always pay obeisances. Even you can pay obeisances in your heart, on your house. Why we live on this earth, or what is the purpose of our life? Why God give us a birth to us? From Vishal. Who's Vishal?
Me.
Okay, Vishal, from New Delhi, right? You talked to me earlier?
No.
Oh. You see, this material universe is created so that souls that decided they didn't want to be with Krishna for one, or they wanted to be independent, or for some reason, as I said, we don't know exactly, everyone has their own individual history. This is like a prison house. And Earth is actually a doorway to get back to Godhead. We go through 8,400,000 species of life, we go through plants, through fish, through insects and animal and birds, lizards, so many different births, animals, the last, then human being is the ultimate. And so as a human being we get an opportunity to go back. So the purpose of our life as a human being is really to go back to God. Otherwise, God gives us independence to serve Him or to be independent. So if we're independent, He puts us in the material world, then there's a kind of equal playing field, level playing field, with everyone has a law of karma. According to how you do karmas, you do austerities, you do penances, you do different activities, you can move up in the material world. According to how you do bad karmic activities, you can move down. So, we want, as a human being, you can learn how this law of karma works, you can read the Bhagavad Gita, and you can get back to Godhead. So that's what we're saying, that we shouldn't waste our valuable human form of life, which is an opportunity for us to get back to Krishna. Will the material world ever cease to exist? The material world, as the Bhagavad Gita says, bhutva, bhutva, pralayate, it's created, it's destroyed, it's created. So sometimes the material world is dormant. It's not manifest, whether that is what you mean by cease to exist, but it's an energy, it doesn't get destroyed, there's a conservation of energy. But it's dormant, it's brought back into the body of the Mahavishnu, and then He expands it out again sometime. It's not always manifest. Sometimes it's manifest, sometimes it's unmanifest. Are there a limited number of souls in the entire creation? No new souls being created as they have ever always existed. There's, says Krishna is ever expanding. So He can always expand new souls. But once you're expanded, you're existing forever. So Krishna is beyond time. Why did Krishna give us free will? Did He know we are going to abuse it? Well, the thing about free will, if there's no free will, there can be no love. Krishna wants us to love him, wants to have loving exchange. But if he doesn't, sometimes you see these movies or read about them, about robots and clones. And so if we're all just clones and we just robots, you know. Love me.
I love you.
Like some kind of Barbie doll, you know. That wouldn't be too exciting, would it? So he gives us the free will, and if we want to serve him, we can. And if we don't want to, we don't have to. And if we don't want to serve him, then he puts us under the material nature, and there we have an opportunity to suffer and enjoy according to the laws of the material world. So we can't really blame Krishna if we're enjoying or suffering. If we are devotees and if we're praying to him, and well, we get some breaks, then we can thank him for it. Now, so he gives us free will so we can use it properly. So Bhakti Yoga is teaching us how to use our free will properly and how not to abuse it. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us what the consequences are of activities in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. How to live a well-balanced life while committed to different obligations. Will it be possible to maintain the by most average people in a diverse society? Well, this is why our grihastha devotees are so important. Because the grihastha devotees are showing this, they're leading, they're doing their material duties, they're raising their children. Today, two of our devotees got second initiation, and they were being glorified at that time that they were not only doing their material activities, their spiritual activities, but they also were responsible parents and doing their material activities. So we need that kind of role models. Advanced devotees who do their work, maintain their families, at the same time they give some minimum time in their day for their spiritual activities as well. And to get some association with devotees like that, we have some weekly programs. Jagannath Ramdas, one of those programs, those Namhad and Bhakti Viksha and youth program, what time, what place, how the people here that want to participate in that can find out more. Everybody has a copy of your folk news? If they don't, where do they get a folk news copy? You can give them one. You're the source.
I'm not the source of folk news. I can give the names so they can
know. You can put yourself on the mailing list, get the folk news. There's a lot of our devotees, so maybe some are more expert, maybe some are a little strained, but that they're trying to lead this well-balanced life, balancing our material obligation and our spiritual life. Part of our in our congregational development, our community development, we took some testimonials. Actually, yesterday I took some testimonials too. And sometimes they said that by this we learn how to lead our practice through this Bhakti Viksha meetings and the discussions. They learn how to lead a balanced life, how to raise their children in a spiritual environment. You wanna share something? How they're asking how to live a well balanced life while committed different obligations. Will it be possible to maintain by most average people in a diverse society? What do you think? Is it possible to maintain? You want to explain a little exactly how Grihastha? They may not listen to me because I'm a sannyasi. So anyway, he doesn't know anything. It's all theory for me, that's for sure. So here.
Yes, it is possible to lead a balanced life, balancing our material activities as well as spiritual activities. And as a practical example, I'll give my own example. I work as a sales rep on the road. So I start early morning around 8 o'clock to the office. So before going, I chant sometimes all my rounds or sometimes few of my rounds. And then we have an altar in the house. So where we, whatever we cook, we offer the bhoga to deities. And then we have prasadam. So, and then one more important aspect, we as a family, we give importance is come to the temple as often as possible and do whatever service we can. So we have put that in the center. So all festival days we come, participate in the festival activities, and then lead a Krishna conscious life.
Let's hear from the wife now. We get from the other side of the equation.
Actually, I want to tell you how everybody, while we are working, still we can devote ourselves to Krishna consciousness, because every Saturday I teach children from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, and after that I do this beautiful garlands to the Lord, and after that we every Saturday we attend this Bhakti Vaibhav course, and we are getting a lot of benefit. And every Sunday me and my Prabhu, we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and we head to temple at about 3:45, and at 5 o'clock we go into the altar, and up to 10 o'clock we are there in the temple attending Srimad Bhagavatam class and all the morning program, which is very substantially solid for our spiritual advancement. And also on every Mondays we attend the Bhakti Vaibhav course, and every alternate Fridays we are doing home programs. We are about 7 families come, and we are actively preaching, and I put lot of effort in doing nice prasadam and feed them, and they are mostly attracted to the prasadam. And they feel extremely happy to come to my house, and they feel very, very happy about that. And also every time I speak to anybody over phone, it's only preaching. I don't speak anything other than Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Anything that comes to my mouth, I relate directly to Srimad Bhagavad Gita. This verse, Krishna said this, so and so. Because Prabhupada says in one of the verses, in 17th chapter, 15th verse, which it's anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam cheyat swadhyaya vyasanam telva vanmayam satochyate. He says that austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are beneficial, or it's pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. So, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literatures, and that way anything I speak to everybody, something or the other, some way or the other related to Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So in that way, like, you know, always we can think of Krishna even while working. Actually, I'm working in office work stores, which is a stationery store. I work, usually my shift is like 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And usually 7 to 9, there's literally nobody there. And I take my clicker and I chant for 2 hours, 7 to 9 o'clock. And after that, I keep chanting Srimad Bhagavad Gita slokas. So in that way, pretty much I feel that my life is running out, so I should use that time for Krishna. And also after coming home, I I clean my house, cook and offer to the Lord. And while I do cooking, I always play Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam lectures. So in that way, like, you know, I really feel very happy to do my daily chores. So like that, if we have really desire, Krishna will give us all intelligence how we can do best in our life. So in that way, and always Krishna has been center in my life. And always, anywhere I go, everywhere, I try to connect myself to Krishna in that way, like my life is not getting wasted that way. So this is what I feel that, and I also try in the temple to try my best to help everybody in whatever way I can. If it is even out of my way, I don't mind doing it as long as I take up Krishna consciousness. So I pray to Krishna so that everybody become Krishna conscious by the mercy of my Sri Jayapataka Swami. Only by His mercy I am able to do this. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj, for giving me opportunity to say thank you.
Everyone finds their own balance how to do. Depends on your work and on different factors. And so some it's easier, some it's a little harder, but it's possible to be done. It's possible to be Krishna conscious. Somebody asked a question here. Why Sri Krishna gave the message of peace to Arjuna in the battlefield? Why he couldn't give it in a homely environment? Maybe if it was in a very peaceful environment, then it'd be too easy. Wow, anybody can do it in that peaceful, homely environment. It's more than dramatic that Arjuna was just at the face of the battle and all this was spoken, but we can't really question Krishna. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? Why didn't he lift the Govardhan hill with his right hand? Why did he do it with his left hand? Like this, some pundits can go on speculating. If he tells us in scripture something, then we can know about it. Otherwise, it's difficult to just. He's independent. He doesn't have to. He's not answerable to us, like to our logic or to our reason. But what we know is that if someone can apply what Krishna gave in a battlefield, then that's like the worst place. People trying to kill each other. They're violent, they're angry, they're passionate. If you can practice in that environment, then why not as a householder? Was not that maybe workplace a little bit of a battlefield, but not that much. It's not killing each other. So it's good in one sense that Krishna spoke it at that time, because if you can practice it in that environment, you can practice it anywhere, no excuse. Also, Arjuna was the ideal student, so he had to teach it to a student who would ask the right questions. Would you have asked all those questions that Arjuna asked? He was a pretty sharp person, right? How many people are on the GBC? Simple question. GBC means Governing Body Commission. ISKCON, we have a governing body who oversees the spiritual standards of the worldwide society and works on some strategies, coordination. So, around 30, 35 are members. Prabhupada said they have around 25, 30. And we have more or less that. Maybe there's one or two more. I'm a member of the governing body. We have deputies and the president here. Aniruddha Prabhu is one of the chairmen of the deputies of the GBC. So they do a lot of the groundwork in presenting things to us to decide. A lot of the brain work. They pre-digest it for us so you can deal with things very quickly. So you have a very advanced president here in ISKCON Management Affairs. Okay, here's a question, kind of two similar questions. Well, this one. How do I maintain a devotional service while being away from temple, where most of the members are non-vegetarian and non-devotional? When should one take initiation? So the first one is a question to Guru Maharaj. I don't know. In every family, it's a little bit of an adjustment. How to, obviously, if the whole family is vegetarian, if they're devotional, then it's a very smooth sailing. If they're not so inclined, then it becomes more of a struggle. Some people have to work harder. You can have your own vegetarian pots. You can cook for yourself. You can offer to Krishna. There was, I remember, one gentleman, he wanted to take initiation. He was about 55 and his wife was maybe 48. But his wife was a principal of a high school. So she said, look, I've been eating meat my whole life. I'm not going to change now. I'm an independent person. If you want to do it, do it. But I'm not going to do it. But he's, you know, they're householders who live together, so he had to learn how to cook his own food. You know, so sometimes to get maybe a humble wife, she follows the husband and they practice together. Sometimes more commonly the wife wants to practice and the husband demands to have meat. So all these things, I had one family where the husband was against Krishna consciousness, but the wife would every day pray for the husband to Krishna. She would secretly offer the food to Krishna and give to her husband. So after about 1 year, the husband's attitude changed. So I think Hare Krishna is not so bad, you know. So I think that women have got some special shakti. If they want, they can change their husbands over some time. I mean, even the wives of Kaliya were praying to Krishna to bless their husbands. So. But if both husband and wife are devotees, that's ideal. That's what we really would like. We recognize that families where the whole family is basically favorable to Krishna consciousness, somebody's they're basically vegetarian, and somebody's practicing very fully, that's called a Shraddha Kutir. Or a home of faith. So I think we have here, how many here families we have here where everybody in the family is favorable to Krishna consciousness? Oh, see, so many. Your family's not favorable? Immediate family. Yeah, so this are the kind of tests and I got all this stack of questions, although I could go on elaborating, but when should one take initiation? In ISKCON we have this system that first you take aspiring, even when you're in ISKCON for a year or more, you can aspire for a guru, develop a relationship. Or if you're chanting 6 months and 16 rounds and 4 principles, you pass the basic test, you can take shelter. So first you have to find out who you want to take initiation from, and start to develop a relationship with that spiritual master. Be an aspirant or take shelter. And then, when to take initiation, that's something that kind of follows suit. When you really feel confident that you can follow that spiritual master, that you can, first of all, be convinced, I want to be within ISKCON community, I want to follow Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that's the primary thing. So then after that you serve one of his representatives, you develop a relationship, and you develop faith. When you have the faith that if he gives me instruction, I'll take it seriously. You know, unless it's something obviously against the Shastra, I would take it as something serious. Some spiritual masters may be more active in their disciples' life, or mother may be more like just giving aloof, but giving guidance, what to do, helping them to decide for themselves. We have to see which kind of spiritual master, how they deal with their disciples, what you want. Then, at some point, usually 1 to 3 years after taking shelter, one takes initiation, but it's no hard and fast rule. Today, the Sudarshan Mahajan and his wife Indu Mahajan took initiation. Now he's Sudarshan Gauranga Das, and his wife is Indu Lake Lakshmi Devi Dasi. Let's give them a big Hari Bol. How long were you under shelter?
More than 10 years.
So they took their time. There's no pressure. It's up to you when you want to take, but usually sooner than later is better. You can ask them why they wanted to wait so long. They wanted to be sure. Some people want to be very sure. Prabhupada waited 11 years to take initiation, but then his son, godbrother, told him, look it. He said, I want to be perfect before I accept my spiritual master. The idea is you take initiation to become perfect. If you're already perfect, then what do you need a guru for? So we take initiation when we reach a certain minimum standard, and then after that the guru helps us, refine us, to come to the higher level. So that's, let's see here, shifting gears, a new topic. Some people believe in Jesus Christ and they reject Krishna. Are they offending the Lord? My mother believes in Jesus Christ and she accepts Krishna. Maybe in the future have more people who believe in Jesus Christ and also accept Krishna as the father of Jesus. Obviously anyone who rejects Krishna, that's an offense to the Lord. We shouldn't, maybe out of ignorance, but believing Jesus Christ that he's the Son of God. So there's nothing wrong with believing in Jesus. He's a historical personality. He preached some very wonderful things. Prabhupada said we accept him as one of our gurus. He's also our guru. So why not we respect him? So if the Christians also, they should know that. So Jesus says, love the Lord thy God. We're just saying Krishna is God. So they say, we accept Krishna, we accept God but not Krishna. You know, it becomes semantic sometimes. Okay, the same person's asking, heading, demigod. Some people strongly believe in Lord Shiva, Ganesh, Morgan. What is your view about this? We also believe in Shiva, Ganesh, Morgan, Kali, Durga. We believe that they are powerful energies and powerful expansions and servants of the Lord. Shiva is an expansion of Vishnu. He's a Shiva Tattva. He's an essential factor for the creation of the material world and the destruction of the material world. So he's a Vaishnavanam Jata Sambhu. He's known as the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. He's carrying out the order of the Lord. When the Lord says, destroy, universe is ashes. So our view is that we should respect, we should not disrespect Shiva, Ganesh, Morgan, or any of the devas, or if you, English translation of deva is demigod. But we should not worship them as if they were equal or independent of Krishna or Vishnu. We should worship them as being devotees and assistants to Vishnu. So when we do our puja, we have Shiva deities. In fact, our Bangladesh temple in Dhaka, we have Shiva, we have Kali, because it was a Shiva temple, and we were given it. So we worship Lord Jagannath, and we offer the Mahaprasadam to Shiva and Durga. Just like in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Prasad is offered to Durga. She likes Jagannath Prasad. She begged for that. She can have Narayan Prasad. So there's another question after this, which is very similar. That my family worship Krishna as we are all Vaishnava, but they also worship some devas or demigods. So they also asked me to worship other demigods, even since my childhood I also worship them. But after coming here in Melbourne, I become a devotee of Krishna. So should I stop even remembering them to become a pure devotee of Krishna? Not at all. We can worship Krishna first and then give them the prasadam worship. Even in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, I saw Mahabalipuram or Mamalapuram, now they call it. They have this Perumal temple, and there are so many devas. So first they offer the puja to Perumal, then they take the lamp and they go down to Shiva, then Durga, then Morgan, Ganesh, and so on. So this is, we don't consider them to be greater than or equal to Krishna. We consider them to be devotees. And if we think like that, there's no obstacle, and they also like it. So, even in your puja room, you can arrange like that. Put all the Vishnu tattvas on the top row and the devas in the next row or off on the side. Offer the bhoga first to Vishnu, then offer the prasad to the devas. No problem. Canto 10. Krishna expand himself 16,000 for the 16,000 queen. Please explain this expansion. So when Krishna would come back from the court of Ugrasena, he would come in one chariot. When he would step down from one, Krishna came out 16,000 and went into the 16,000 different palaces. And with each queen he was having some different affairs. Some he's playing with the children, some he's talking to a minister. Narada Muni went around and watched, and he saw that, wow, a yogi can expand himself into 10 forms. But Krishna did 16,000, and a yogi will only have, in 10 forms, will have one consciousness, one CPU. But Krishna is totally multitasking. Each one is totally different. Each one is showing different emotions. With one, he is playing chess. One, he's playing with the kids. Like, each one is something different happening, different emotions, different. He said, only the Supreme Lord can do like that. Then in the morning, when it came time to go back to his royal duties, the 16,000 Krishnas all came at the same time, came to the chariot, merged into one. Got one Krishna got on the chariot, went back to his royal duties with Ugrasena. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki
jai!
How can we become good to others in life? How can I give up self-centered thinking? How can I become good for my parents? How I can become good human being? Well, it's considered that if you are a devotee of Krishna, you develop all the good qualities of the devas. So it's easier to try to be a devotee. And if you learn to serve Krishna, then naturally you give up being self. You become materially self-centered. And if you, as a service to Krishna, if you learn how to take care of your family, how to help them, if you feel grateful because of the help your parents gave you and you also want them to get back to Godhead, best thing is you can help your parents to get back to Krishna. So for us, the easy way is to try to be a better devotee. Ultimately, being good is a relative thing. E balo, e mando, sab monir brahmo. This is good, this is bad, this is all mental concoction. Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita says, sometimes what we think is good may be good in one person's eye, but in someone else's vision it's not good. But if we are good in Krishna's eyes, in Krishna's vision, then that's absolutely good. And then that, from there, we can then behave nicely with everyone. So this Krishna devotees develop all the qualities of a sadhu. Pusha Kwanlal, Kiranlal. She's writing, Dear Guru Maharaj, in this busy life with the children, our job, our family, responsible, how can we cope with our spiritual progression? We need enough time for temple service, selling books, and other Krishna conscious activities, especially if your family members don't support. Let me get some tips from some of our senior grihasthas here, how they do it. It's of juggling time management. Sometimes you have to not able to do as much as we want, but how to do the minimum so that we can see our children also get back to Krishna. Why does Krishna appear in different forms when we thank you for your question. Is that okay? Satisfied? We discussed it earlier. Different forms when he appears on earth. Why doesn't he appear in the same form so he can prove he is the Supreme? One of the qualities of Krishna is he's Ananta Rupa. He has unlimited forms. So he comes in different forms, and these forms are described in the Shastra. So it does prove that he is the Supreme, because it's all explained in the Shastra that he comes in these forms. That's part of his greatness, that he can come in different forms. He's not limited to only come in one. But his form as Krishna is the original form. So that's also explained in that verse we read earlier. Mr. Charan is still here? It is said, Bhagavad Gita, 17 chapter, 7, 8, 9, 10 verses, that people in the three modes of material nature are in goodness. What? The three modes of material nature, I can't read that word. Ear? You want to read it? Actually, prasadam is transcendental, it's pure goodness, Krishna prasad. And that can free us from karmas. But fruits, vegetables, and grains, milk products, these things are eaten in moderation, and when they're fresh, it's in the mode of goodness. So things which are too salty, too pungent, too spicy. Punchin is spicy anyway. So that may taste good in the beginning, but later on it may create ulcers or some indigestion or different problems, so that could cause some problems. And then things which are rotten, dead, like meat, and things which are already from a dead body and decomposing, and things which have become putrid, these are in the mode of ignorance, and they tend to cause different kinds of material health problems. So, as you said, this is the yucky stuff. So we want to eat food in the mode of goodness. But ideally we want to eat even more than goodness is eat prasadam. Prasadam is actually transcendental. So charan is in a pure goodness. Here, you're going to leave us. Take some prasad. Not yucky stuff. We got them. I know you, right?
You. I'm sorry, I have to go.
What's your name again?
Michelle.
Nice to see you again. Tomorrow morning sometime I'll probably go to Sydney. And from Sydney I'll go back to India. Happy New Year to you. So do we end here? How many I got here? It's already getting late. Leela Mai Radhika, she had a question. Dear Guru Maharaj, we'll select one more from the. Close your eyes. We'll let her select. So unbiased. We are very fortunate that you stayed longer, that we could have your association evening. Can you please explain the word swadharma, your own religious duty? How important is this in Krishna consciousness? What is meant by religious duty, and does this please Krishna? Your humble disciple, Leela Mai Radhika Nivedasi. So, swadharma, just like some of you may be students, so your swadharma meant to study, graduate, use your education. If you, some may be grihastas, their swadharma is to give charity, to do sacrifices, to raise their family, feed the sannyasis. Everybody's duty is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
But like if somebody who is a grihasta wants to do the duties of someone who is a sannyasi, that won't be good. Or someone who is a sannyasi, if he wants to work and maintain his family, then that's not his swadharma. So at least according to the ashrams. The time of Arjuna, the Varnas were very strong, and so his Arjuna was a warrior, so that was his Kshatriya Swadharma. And Krishna was talking to that. And we don't have such clear defined Varnik or caste kind of delineations now in Kali Yuga, but the ashram is still an important factor. So according to our ashram, just like if somebody gets married, then it's part of their duty to try to have children. But if someone gets married and says, I want to be a brahmachari for 10 years first and try for children after, maybe the wife doesn't agree. I know one case like that, so it was creating a lot of confusion. So according to our, we should have to act according to our Swadharma. If you want to become a Grihastha, there's going to be certain things you have to do. And if you want to be a Brahmachari, then there's other things. So, at least as far as the ashrams are concerned, we do our Swadharma. You can also take that advice that Krishna is giving. If someone's a policeman, they have to act according to their Swadharma, their occupation, whatever it is. So this is the question that she picked. What's your name? Teju. Teju. You're full of Tej. Spiritual force. Is there a provision for Babaji Vesh within ISKCON? That's the question. There are a few people that took Babaji during the time of Prabhupada. Unfortunately, most of them didn't stay as a Babaji. They left it, just like people leave sannyas, they left Babaji. It's a kind of sannyas, where you agree to stay in one holy place and just do mainly chanting. So it's a possibility. It's not very common. If somebody wants to settle in Vrindavan or Mayapur, there was a case where somebody had a terminal cancer and he convinced Prabhupada, I just want to go to Mayapur and prepare to die. So he got Babaji. He went to Mayapur, but then after about 3 months, the mosquitoes, he's living in a grass hut and the different factors, he decided, let me go back to the West and try to cure my cancer. He cured it and he was no longer a Babaji. So, maybe the austerities he did in Mayapur helped him to cure his cancer. But if someone has... normally we prefer preaching. Sannyas meant for preaching, traveling and preaching, helping people. But if someone is...